Welcome to the Sunday Message, Sunday the 13th of October 2024. Our scripture readings are from the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 18. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. In the New Testament, we go to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and I'm reading from verse 27 to 32. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, who stands and rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all." Father God, thank you for your precious word. Thank you that you've made it available to us as a guide to our path. Holy Spirit, we pray that you'd cast your light on this word, that it will be revelation to our minds, that we will receive it in our spirit being, and that it might produce great fruit, Lord, in all of those within the sound of my voice. We give you praise in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen. Last week we were talking about God's agenda, and we made the point that God has got an agenda, and we as human beings have also got an agenda. But the point is that God's agenda has got a plan for your and my lives. And we expressed the point that for us to live fulfilled lives, it's critically important that we recognize God's agenda and slowly but surely change our agenda to align with His agenda. We have been placed on this earth to fulfill His purpose. And until we do that, we won't really be happy people. And God wants us to be happy. What we spoke about last time is that moving into God's agenda for our lives is a process. I can't say that enough. Yes, there were occasions where the Lord on this earth spoke to the early apostles, and it states very clearly they just left everything and followed Him. Now, in a way, you and I, when we encounter the living God, we hand our lives over to Christ. We should, in a sense, leave the old life behind. But that doesn't necessarily mean that everything that we do suddenly has to change. Not at all. Like I said, this is a process. And God wants us to understand that process. I firmly believe many people don't follow the paths that God has ordained for them because of ignorance, not understanding. And the purpose of this teaching is to help us understand what that process is and how we can align ourselves with it. There's quite a lot to it, and I'm not planning to try and cram everything into one or two teachings. As we've done in the past, we will take as much time as is necessary to cover the subject as comprehensively as possible. We mentioned also this vision of a river running past a village. And once again, God, the eternal gentleman, makes the invitation. He never forces you or I to do anything. In fact, can I go as far as to say, if we are feeling pressurized in any particular aspect of our lives, the chances are great that the enemy of our soul is the person behind it. So here we have this great invitation to live a great life, a grand life. But we have to understand that grand life is not just something which you and I concoct for ourselves. It has to be lined up with God's great plan. Now, in the Bible, you will realize that many of the principles there come across in the forms of patterns. There are a lot of discernible patterns in the Bible. And if we understand the patterns that we find in the Bible, although these scriptures were written centuries ago, the patterns remain eternal. Those patterns are applicable to our lives today. That is what makes the Bible something very powerful, living and active, if approached with the Holy Spirit, dynamic for our lives, a reliable guide. One of these patterns is that in the Bible, very often, we will find principles described in terms of opposites. It's very much like a plane coming into land, and the landing strip has put to the right of the runway or to the left a red light, and on the other side, a green light. The pilot knows that the red light on its own is not sufficient. Likewise, the green light on its own is not sufficient. What he has to do is negotiate between the two. Now, you and my life, as far as God is concerned, is a bit like that. On the one hand, the Word of God does say that every one of us must work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We've talked about this before, but it's so important to realize that God's blueprint for my life is different from others. And so, in a sense, we are supposed to negotiate this process as individuals. That is the truth. You and I cannot fashion our lives according to some other calling another person has. We can learn a lot from them, but to try and imitate them in purpose and in function can lead to difficulties. Having said that, the other side of the coin is that there are general principles. General principles that are applicable to everyone. And so, yes, we negotiate our lives. We work on our own salvation with fear and trembling. But we do that in the context of the overall pattern and plans that God has laid out. Consider somebody building a massive high-rise building. That architect will design something possibly completely unique. However, that building will have to comply with certain specifications. There are rules and laws about building, as far as height is concerned, as far as the depth of foundation, structural integrity, materials, and in some cases, the colors that are used. So you see, the building will be unique, but it will conform to certain principles. You and I, working out our own salvation, will be unique, yes, but it will also at the same time conform to some general principles. Now, what I'm going to be endeavoring to do here is to lay out for us the general principle, the patterns, and in a sense, give a background against which you and I, with the help of the Holy Spirit, will be able to negotiate our very own process of growth. Remember what we read in Proverbs 4 verse 18. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The general principle is that we should be moving from one degree of glory to the next. That is what the Bible speaks about. We should be moving upwards. We shouldn't be, as it were, roaming around and deteriorating. That is not God's plan. So whatever movement we make, it should be to a greater and more glorious life, ever upwards. Having said that, we need to realize that in all of this, God has got our interests at heart. Now, the way to marry this together, you see, he has got his plan. We spoke about his broad plan. His broad plan is the salvation of humanity, winning the world back to himself. A general principle is that whatever God has called you and I to do, in some way will tie up with that overall plan. It will not be separate from it. Very much like if you were employed by a company, say you were employed by a multinational like Coca-Cola. No matter what you did for that company, whether it be as a lawyer, whether it be as an accountant, a sales rep, a truck driver, a store manager, a clerk, anything. No matter what you did, somehow it would be tied up with the production and the sale of that product, Coca-Cola. In the same way, we need to realize the two sides of the coin. You and I have got differing abilities and giftings. There are different things we are called to do, unique things we are equipped to do. But we need to realize that as unique as our particular gifting may be, for us to be fulfilled, it must somehow tie up with the extension of God's kingdom on this earth. And if we can make that connection, and it is our plan here to explain how that is possible, no matter how diverse the gift, if we can make that connection in our lives, then every day when we wake up, we do what we have to do, there's a spring in our step. There's purpose. There's life. Having said that, once again, remember, God wants us to be blessed. Only when we're serving Him with everything He's given us will we be truly blessed. This is the key to life, and I'm trusting God through the Holy Spirit to untap it for us in this teaching process. Another pattern that we discern in the Word of God is that there's the start, the middle, in a sense, the end. There's a threefold process. Now, the lines of this threefold process, which I'm going to attempt to explain, are not set in stone. It's not as if we start off and then we move one day at a certain moment of time into the next and then into the next. There is a process whereby the transference is gradual. But if we understand the phases in this process, we realize the emphasis, the bulk of our focus begins to move. And you see, one other thing we are going to be talking about, the lessons we learn in part A are carried over to part B, which in turn are carried over to part C. We cannot jump the gun, as it were, in God's economy. Well, let's briefly talk about these phases. The first phase is, in a sense, to get ourselves right. Now, once again, you see, getting ourselves right is something that doesn't just happen and we suddenly realize one day, okay, now we're right. It's a process that probably goes on through our entire lives. But I'm thinking of a situation where you and I come into the kingdom of heaven. Perhaps our finances are in a mess. Perhaps our personal lives are in a mess. In most cases, that is the situation. And God's interested in us, as it were, getting our act together. There's a lot of healing that needs to take place. Physical, emotional, spiritual. And you see, the starting point is where the focus is on us. On us getting right in our lives, getting established. You know, I can't really go on to great heights for God if we ourselves are not established. Now, you see, the danger with this is that on the one hand, one could say, well, I'm not right, so I must just keep on focusing on myself. And we need to focus on ourselves to start off with. But as I've been saying, the next phase is to move beyond that. Doesn't mean that we need to have maintenance and ongoing repair. We know that. It's a process. It's ongoing. Salvation goes on for life until we're perfect, you see. But God wants us to get our act together. And it's quite fine to start off with, to spend time on that. Face up to issues. Get the help we need. Find out what the Bible says. Develop our faith. Develop our knowledge of the Word, get our foundations right. We firmly believe in establishing firm foundations in Christians' lives. Too often, our experience has been that people become saved, they get born again, and years later they're still roaming around the mountain. And very often the problem is because the foundations weren't put firmly in place. So the foundation phase is getting those foundations set right. And that can take any number of years depending on the individual. But the next point I need to make is that getting our foundations right, getting our lives right, is not the end of the process. It's only the beginning. Broadly speaking, the next phase is to learn what it is that we have that God wants to use. We spoke some time back about embracing the gift that we have. And you see, you and I can't embrace that gift until we know what that gift is. Very closely associated with that is the understanding that your and my gift is given for a specific purpose. Now, it's all very well discovering a great gift in one's life, but that gift on its own doesn't make any sense at all. There was an occasion where I had an opportunity to speak to a whole lot of students at the music department at the local university. I had discerned and found out from personal experience that very often people that are musically inclined, gifted, and it's not confined to people that are musically inclined, but very often in that scenario, the big challenge in all of their lives is why? What is this gift for? I struggled with that for years, and I tried to help those students understand it from a biblical point of view. But of course, you see, to accept what I had to say would have required a great paradigm shift, which is very difficult to achieve in a few minutes. But the point is this, you see, as gifted as you and I might be, in whatever way, until we understand the purpose for that, that gift lies within us, no matter how well developed, to all intents and purposes, useless. You think of a great chef, cordon bleu chef, who's put on an island with every single facility that he could possibly want, every possible ingredient, every possible oven, every possible fridge, every possible vegetable, every possible meat, every possible requirement, and now he's expected to cook. The problem is, as gifted as he is with cooking, he's stuck on an island. And as wonderful as the food is that he could possibly produce, if there's nobody there to eat it, he's going to waste his time. That chef is better served in a humble canteen on a street corner feeding the hungry, where at least with his gift, he can make sure some poor wretches have a decent plate of food in their stomachs. My point is this, you see, as Christians, we need to realize our giftings have unique application. And we can only understand that application when we understand the context in which the gifts are granted. And that context is, as I've mentioned before, the great plan of God, which is His church. The body of Christ is where your and my giftings will find the application. Now, right there, you see, thinking of the past might limit our thinking to saying, oh, well, that means I've got to join the choir, or I've got to preach, or I've got to maybe do the books for the church. You understand, we get such a limited view. And part of this teaching is going to be an attempt to explain to us all the various departments of the body of Christ that need various giftings. And you see, as we become aware, and that's the point, we have to become aware of these particular giftings, we start to realize where we fit in. That is phase two of this whole process, which we will be dealing with in great detail. And finally, you see, once we have learned what our particular gifting is, the next process is to learn how to use that gifting in concert with other people. No gift was designed to operate on its own. And I think that was God's plan. We think of Moses, how he was the architect of the great nation of Israel, the lawgiver, the great mighty leader. And yes, he was a great man in many respects. He had a relationship with God that I think few humans have ever been able to emulate. And yet, at the very outset of his ministry, God had to provide him with an Aaron. Aaron, for your information, was his older brother. Must have been quite humiliating for an older brother to have to kowtow to his younger brother. But Aaron recognized, of course, the anointing on Moses. The point I'm trying to make is that as great as Moses was, he needed Aaron. He needed Joshua eventually. He needed Miriam and many, many others. Jethro, his father-in-law, helped him dramatically on one occasion. But you see, you and I have got to recognize that our gifting will only come to its fullness in cooperation with others. And how that's supposed to take place is once again something we have to learn. And in a way, can I say this, once we've found out these things, we're good to go. We're good to go. There's a beautiful song that we sing quite often here. It's an old Pentecostal song entitled, Lord, Make Me an Instrument. What I like about that particular song is the progression. The first verse is about us being made instruments. The foundation phase, turning us into something that God can use. Then it speaks about, tune me, your instrument. You see, it's all very well knowing about our instrument, but then we need to know how to get that instrument to be in tune. Then the next verse is to make us a symphony, you see. In other words, take this instrument, tune it, and put it together with others. And the final verse is play a love song. Play now a love song. Very beautiful in its sentiment. So you see, you and I now need to understand this is the broad sweep of things. How we will work our way through that as individuals will be different in every case. But somehow, the pattern will be the same. The connection will be the same. The principles will be the same. And we need to know those principles. One other thing I need to mention in closing with this particular teaching is this. The function of this teaching is to make it understandable how you and I can move from obsession with our particular agenda into shaping up with God's agenda. And obviously we want to make it as simple and as understandable as possible. But can I say that as simple and as understandable as it very well may be, that doesn't make it easy. And there's a reason for that. In that scripture we read, John made that statement. He recognized who Christ was, and he recognized how his ministry was designed to fall in line with the greater ministry that had come. He stated these wonderful words, I must decrease, he must increase. Now, the Word of God also says that you can't serve two masters. And in this process of moving from our agenda to God's agenda, there is a death involved. There is a death involved. The key to moving with God is understanding that as we make space for Him, then He's able to take over. And so often, we hold on, we cling to our own agenda. We refuse to submit it to His. That's what happened to the rich young ruler, you might remember. He cried out to the Lord, how can I have eternal life? And the Lord discussed how he had followed the law, etc. But then, of course, it came to the issue of, well, go and sell everything. What was that about? Up till that moment in his life, that young man had followed his own agenda very successfully. But now he wanted eternal life. He knew there was something more. But what had to happen? Can you see? The old agenda had to die. And I need to say that it's a wonderful funeral. Because you see, the key to life is death. As easy as it might seem, as simple as the process might actually be, please understand, at every step of the way, you and I can expect to face this challenge. Is it going to be my agenda, or is it going to be his? Am I going to stay in the village, or am I going to get into the river, into the middle, and let it carry me wheresoever? The choice always is ours. God is the perfect gentleman. But my prayer for us is that we will have the greatness of heart and the vision to realize that by far the best thing is for us to decrease, that He might increase. Be blessed in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.